Welcome to The Clean Slate with your hosts, Daniel Garza and Carson Phillips, providing you with movie news, reviews, and more. Sit back, relax, and don't forget to go to the concessions to get your popcorn and drinks. For your entertainment, this is The Clean Slate Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Clean Slate Podcast. I'm Carson Phillips here with Daddy Garza over here.
What up?
Look at that nice Clean Slate Podcast hat.
And look at that nice Clean Slate Podcast shirt.
Oh, yeah. I'm wearing the OG brand, the OG logo.
First merch.
Daniel.
Yep.
You know, we've had a very long friendship.
We have, yeah.
And it's almost like a marriage just with less sex, unfortunately.
Some sex, but just less sex.
Way less. Like, it's like friends with benefits, but no benefits.
There's some benefits. I feel benefited.
Well, I don't.
Okay.
So you need to come over. Satisfy me.
Wow. Where are you going with this?
All right, guys. Welcome back to the podcast. What? Today, we're going to be talking about one child-friendly movie. Well, it's A24 April.
Yeah.
You guys know.
Welcome back to A24 April.
And we're going to be talking about I think all three are pretty excellent films.
Oh, nice.
Wildly different vibes. So we got Waves, which is kind of an indie drama of sorts.
Yep.
And we have Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, which is a kids drama?
Indie? Kids indie film?
Vibe? I don't know. And then we have Under the Silver Lake, which is a noir horror-esque mystery thriller.
Yes, very different. Weird. Okay, guys, so this is Waves by Trey Edward Schultz, director and writer, and it stars someone you might know from This Is Us, which is Sterling K. Brown. I mean, it doesn't star him. He is featured in this movie.
He has a big focus, though.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, this cast is kind of loaded, low-key.
Yeah, you got Taylor Russell. You got Alexa Demi, who Alexa Demi is Euphoria. And then you got Lucas Hedges.
Which is indie darling.
Yeah, really. It's A24 darling at this point. It's him and Nate Wolff,
yeah,
or whatever his name is.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff, too, yeah.
Let's read the log line here. Traces the journey of a suburban family led by a well-intentioned but domineering father as they navigate love, forgiveness, and coming together in the aftermath of a loss.
Ooh. So, you know the mom in this is in Hamilton.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
She's Eliza.
Oh, gross. Renee Elise Goldsberry.
Yeah.
Such a long name.
And then the son, I actually got to see, I kind of met him at Sundance because he was premiering a film called Loose.
Ooh.
Which is another kind of similar character in a weird way.
Oh, yeah.
But not really. But
okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting.
Okay, cool. My first initial thoughts on this is it's such an interesting take on a drama family movie. Like, a lot of times we see struggles in different areas, but I don't think we've actually seen a struggle in a family movie quite like this one. And
it's unique.
Yeah, really much so, to where like A24 always has this big thing that happens and you're like, oh crap, like that just happened.
This kind of has that.
This has that for sure, but I would say you never see it coming. It is kind of something that is so out of the, and I have something to compare it to, but let's hear a brief description of what the movie is before I do all that.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, you do it every single time.
I guess I do every episode, huh? Okay, so essentially we're introduced to this family. They seem to be upper middle class.
Yep.
And it's indicated it was through like hard work. It's an African-American family. They've had to work through some struggles, but the father in this situation is putting a lot of pressure on his son to perform at a high level, not just academically, or he's also doing some work for his mom. They don't really touch on that too much.
That's
kind of weird. But he's, you know, about to graduate from high school.
And athletically too.
And he's an athletic like prodigy, right?
Yeah.
He's like a really great wrestler. and they think he's going to get like a scholarship. Mm-hmm. And essentially he's hiding this shoulder injury from his family.
Yeah.
And this causes his life. Well, he also finds out his girlfriend's pregnant. So yeah. These two events in conjunction together kind of cause him to spiral out of control. And without spoiling too much, some things go down and we kind of switch to his sister's story and his family story after these events and how they move forward with their lives and heal amidst great pain and anguish.
Yeah.
That's essentially it. Without spoiling too much, we will spoil probably after this. So if you want to go watch it now.
Yeah, this is your stopping point.
One that our audience overall would enjoy this film.
Yes, it is
not scary or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. It's very drama filled. There is language in it, but it is it digs deep into the questions of family that mm-hmm. I think a lot of times aren't really touched on. But you really just touch on a lot of these topics in such an intense way that like you don't often see this family. Like, right, a lot of times this story is told as a white family, still wealthy.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily see the norm of a black family living in this kind of higher-end life. Yeah, that's
what Alyssa and I were talking about that. We found that really interesting because you compared this film before because you watched it before I did mm-hmm. originally. And you compared it kind of to like a Moonlight kind of vibe, which it does have that vibe in some sense.
Mainly the colors. But it was,
yeah, I think visually, not the story, but maybe the feeling of it in a lot of ways. But we were talking about, it's not really touching on like systemic issues. But then we watched, watched more of it. And we're like, well, it actually does. Yeah. It's just doing it in a more nuanced and subtle way. But that's also not the main focus of the story. So it's actually pretty excellently executed there, I feel.
Right.
Like,
and I don't even think that it needs to be the main focus, right? Because this is just a story about a family going through a very intense situation. Do we want to share what the situation is now?
Mm-hmm. So spoilers now.
Yeah, okay. Technically what happens is the son, whose name is Tyler, his girlfriend's name is Alexis, they kind of go through this whole breakup because Tyler wants Alexis to have an abortion because he's so scared of what his dad's mm-hmm. going to think. And there's all that pressure on, and now he's going to be a teen dad. So a lot of things,
plus his shoulder is destroyed.
And now he's pretty much losing
his career is gone.
Exactly. So his world is kind of crumbling. Things kind of spiral out of amok. He starts taking the pain medicines in a very...
He stole them from his dad, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, in kind of an addictive manner.
Mm-hmm. He's snorting it and
and
getting super high and drunk all the time.
Exactly. So he finally kind of meets this point where Alexis has blocked him because she wants to keep the baby. But he finds her at a party. They kind of get into this argument. Things really get intense, and he slaps her or hits her. I think it's a slap. Slaps her.
At the party?
Yeah.
Oh, he punches her, dude.
Oh, he punches her. Okay. I definitely thought it was a slap.
Yeah, he should have decks her.
It was
violent.
She falls so hard to the ground, she hits her head on the concrete and is pronounced dead later. So it's really just, it takes a huge,
horrible.
It's almost like the worst thing that could happens, which is typically A24 shtick. Like, if
they love head trauma.
Yes. And then the rest of the story is kind of navigating how Tyler is now going to, not really necessarily, but almost his story ends right there because he kills his future.
It's over, yeah.
His future was already kind of being taken away from him.
I was thinking it was going to be a redemption story at this point. I was like, how did they bring him back from this?
They don't. And it kind of ends. His story ends as him going to prison for 33 years minimum before probation for a second degree murder.
He's in Florida, by the way, so he could have got the death penalty. So
yeah, so it is. It's really heavy, and then the rest of the story kind of follows Taylor Russell, and it almost starts like its own new story, but not really, because she is a member of the family. It almost transitions to this is what she's been experiencing, but she's almost, it's kind of interesting how they do it because it's almost like she's been the forgotten topic because he's been so
and she is in the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You see her, but you don't know how she's reacting to events or anything.
Exactly.
So it feels like actually a natural transition into her journey, which is really well told.
Yeah. And I think, at the same time too, the topic does come up. It's you know, the wife still says, no, you still have a daughter. Like, you still can do these things with your daughter to Sterling K. Brown. And it's just kind of interesting how they do it within the storytelling, but also in the dialogue of, like, how she was forgotten sibling because he was, 'cause
she actually is.
Yeah, no, and you see it play out. Anyway, so
when they have their little talk, their moment when they're like kind of like bonding.
Yeah.
And they're talking about like, oh, you remember grandpa's like favorite Bible verse and all that stuff. It's such a touching moment because he starts confessing all these things to her. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to tell you anymore. And she's like, no, keep telling me. And it's like this like healing moment, almost like she kind of takes on a parental role.
Yeah. Which is technically, and it's almost not like
great, but but it is very touching.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of, I mean, some of the thematic symbolisms that I was getting from it is almost like you have to work hard for your family, but like allow there to be space to grow and like learn. So, there's kind of this fight where it happens to where she just tells, the wife tells the husband, like, you pushed him too hard. And now this, it becomes this moment of like, oh, shoot, like maybe he wanted this so badly. And now it pushed him away, and now the family is not in ruins because of it. I mean, the family is in ruins, but I don't think he's solely to blame because, right?
Yeah, their lives are horrible,
right? Basically, but it kind of gives me the vibes of like even in her being pregnant, even in her, you know, going away to her boyfriend's dad as he passes. Like, you have to fight for family. And I think that's kind of one of the biggest like themes here that I really, really like, because you see it everywhere, like fighting for family. She's fighting for her daughter the baby, you know, he's fighting to keep his.
She wants them to be a family.
Exactly.
And he's screwing it up by being a psychopath.
Exactly. So anyway, I'm not going to get on my soapbox, but that's kind of what I genuinely like about this movie.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, and it really is touching, and there's a lot going on, really. Like, you could watch this and probably get something different each time you watch it. The other thing I want to touch on real quick is the performances are fantastic.
So good.
All of them, they're so all good. Solid, very nuanced, and then the visuals are like unreal. Like, there's an aspect ratio change actually that's really cool. Film nerds love that kind of stuff, so I was into that, and just a lot of interesting like shots. This director usually is like really visually like fun to watch, so that's cool. My only real complaint before we move on is I think the length may have been a little too long, because they're doing all these artsy shots where it's like a long take, what seems like no reason. Obviously there's a reason, that's to show you like a beautiful scene, but that maybe that first half of the movie could be
like down. The first 40 minutes.
Because I actually like the second half more than the first half, even though the first half is really well crafted to make you like anxious and like nervous and like confused even. But I just think it could have been a lot shorter and it would be a much tighter film. But other than that, it's a really, really good movie to watch, I think. It's on Netflix, by the way.
Oh, cool. I own this movie. So I think.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, I bought it like right when it came out. I love this movie so much. Yeah, I actually do agree with you. That is probably my only dislike of this movie, is it feels a little long in the front end and in the back end. Like, at the last minutes, it's just like, okay. However,
There's some, like, a lot of, like, playful, like, montage at the end for, like, a long time. And I'm like, this is one too many montage.
Yeah, exactly. So, however, to go against my argument, I think they establish the characters so well that, like, for me, in a movie this long, I actually had the time to build up my sympathy for the characters and what they go through. So that's my counter argument to my complaint, but I still have the complaint that
there's a lot of like long scenery shots that don't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy them, but if I was in the editing room.
She's like, all right.
If I directed this, I'd be like, hey, guys, let's. I know we got inspired and we started filming a lot more. We're going to cut it back. I'm sorry. I don't know why that
happened. Listen, I know we have a $6 million budget, but come on, let's go home early.
We still need to make money.
Which is kind of sad, because this movie is only 2 hours and 15 minutes, which isn't that long. I mean, it's long.
No.
But length in film doesn't become like an issue until like 2:30, 2:45. That's when you start to be like, oh, that's a little long.
I honestly really like long movies. It's just when I feel the runtime that bothers me.
Exactly. Okay, cool. So, yeah, that guy is Waves. It's such a deep, heart-wrenching movie. It's not heartfelt. I mean,
and kind of there is heartfelt moments. Last half.
Yeah, but it is the a growing pains. The romance is
very,
maybe.
Like...
Yeah.
I thought the romance in the second half was, like, really sweet.
So, it is pretty much an epic tale of a modern American family. That was
what I'm talking about.
Because on IMDb, it always plays the trailers, and so it was saying, like, you know, what critics have to say about it.
Is that what it said? Who said that?
I don't know. I think it was Variety.
We need to put them on blast. We should get them on the podcast.
I mean, it's just a movie of this caliber. It moved too fast. I couldn't read it all. anyway, guys. This is one of my favorite movies. It's not top 10, but it is a great movie that I always recommend.
Top 50?
Yeah, for sure, top 50. But go check it out if you want to have some sort of intensity, some drama, some
feel some emotion.
Yeah, some broken family vibes. This is your movie.
Too many text message scenes. I could not read the freaking text messages.
Yeah.
I just thought of that because I couldn't read the final text that's like important. And I was like getting only part of it. And Alyssa's like, what does it say? And I'm like, I really don't know. I can't tell.
Did Alyssa so like hard. It?
No.
What?
She like wasn't watching it, and then she did. Like she like sat up on the bed and like inched closer to the screen.
LOL.
So she was like intrigued, but she doesn't like sad movies.
Got you. Okay, out of 5, what do you give it?
I would give it. Thank you for doing my scale.
I know your scale.
I'm kind of torn. It's either 3.5 or 4 for me.
Okay,
I think it might be 3.5.
That's fair. I was going to say mine's about a 7.5.
Soundtrack is killer, by the way. The music works really well.
Okay.
In this film.
Yeah, I do like it. For me, cinematography is just unreal for this movie. Like, I just...
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. But I give this movie about a 7.5,
like,
8.
The manatees, like, when they're underwater, some of the manatees, I was like, this is kind of a vibe.
Yeah, it's a fun movie for sure. Okay, well, let's move on because we spent 20 minutes just on that.
20 movies.
20 movies. To Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. Now, for a lot of you people who grew up in the time Carson and I did, this was a huge YouTube hit. And it was just simple, stupid things that like were...
It's like viral, I think, at the time.
That entertained us. And A24 bought the rights to this, made a movie of it, and it is just the sweetest thing ever.
It's beyond charming.
Yeah. So let's dive right into it. A cash-strapped documentary maker decides to make his newest documentary about a mollusk shell he finds living in his Airbnb with his friends.
That is what it is.
Yep.
I will give you guys a little bit more. I don't want to spoil too much of this one either.
There's not too much to spoil, but I mean, I guess there is.
I mean, I kind of have to spoil one thing.
Yeah.
But anyways... So Marcel obviously is a shell with shoes on.
What?
And is Marcel a boy or girl?
I think it's a boy. Because they do say, is he, or I'll bring him right back.
Yeah, you're right. So Marcel is doing his thing, living with his grandma, who tragically, something happens to the grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And this starts Marcel on this journey of finding family. And that's... Without going into like all the little bits in between, that's kind of like the essential plot there, and it's told through like a mockumentary kind of perspective.
Yeah.
So we get to see like how they do stuff as tiny little shells, like how do they farm or skateboard and do their whole cute little things that we do so easily because we're big. So there's that as like a side thing, but it's basically Marcel's journey to find family.
Yeah, and it is really sad. It's really, I mean, this movie did make me cry.
Trigger warning, you'll cry.
Yeah.
It is appropriate for kids, though. Yes. Kids can watch this and they'll be all right.
Yes, it is a PG movie. I think A24 is first. but
it probably is, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, there is a backstory of, and they kind of correlate this too, like, he did have a family there. But the family that was living there would fight so constantly, and they were so scared of the fighting couple,
so sad,
that they would hide in, or they would tell themselves, like, okay, if it gets too scary, go hide in the sock drawer, and we'll all be safe there until like they are done fighting. Well, apparently Marcel and his grandma were not in the sock drawer at the time, and the boyfriend or husband, whatever it was, goes to the sock drawer, grabs all of his like clothing and everything like that, or he grabs all of his clothing, sock drawer included, and takes the shells with him.
The whole family.
And from then, Marcel is just left with his grandma and nobody else, empty home, and it becomes an Airbnb. And it's just so sad because he wants his like family so bad. I mean, at the beginning, they say a shell can't live on his own. They need about 20 shell other shells in the community to survive. Otherwise, they can't.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it breaks my heart genuinely. Like,
it's almost like a little bit morbid.
Yeah.
Like sometimes like the stuff Marcel will say is like kind of like dark, but it's like cute because of his little voice. And so you're like, what am I even watching?
Yeah. It's funny though. Marcel is voiced by Jenny Slate. If you don't know, do you know who Jenny Slate is?
Not super familiar.
She's pretty well known in the animated category. She's done The Great North is a TV show, Big Mouth, Bob's Burgers. She plays Tammy in Bob's Burgers.
A little bit more adult animation oriented then. Yeah. So something that's kind of cool about this movie is the animation. It's like really stand out. So like it looks, I don't know for sure if it was shot on film, but it looks like it was. But at the same time, we're getting this really unique and clever stop motion animation. So these are all like little handmade figures that they're able to use. And some of the movements, it's not like super fluid like some of the other stop motion animated films, but it works really well, I think, to give this kind of like quirky, cute vibe that you expect. And I think it is something that's unexpected from like the animation we typically watch like with kids and stuff nowadays. This is a little bit more care and time went into it. And the YouTube series, so this started, like we mentioned before, this started on YouTube, and it was just like little handmade, super simple
stop motion
animation on the YouTube series. And I think seeing it brought up to this scale and like with a bigger team behind it, it really, the payoff was really great.
Bigger team behind it, but also the same writer-director as the original YouTube series. Did you already say that?
Like, yeah. No, I didn't.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I was leading you to that.
Do you have any dislikes on this movie?
I really don't. Like, I think it is almost like the perfect kids film that's actually for adults, secretly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first time I watched it was with Alyssa and her grandma. So Alyssa bought me a special like collector's edition of this.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, we could show this to Grammy because like I always would show her my special edition movies and it'd be like scary movies. And she's like, oh, Carson, this is concerning that you own this and it's at my house. And I'm like, okay, we'll show her this. And so we watched it with her and she started bawling and Alyssa started bawling and I was crying. I was like, this is not a good movie to watch with grandma. So, but yeah, it's a really fun movie. I think out of all the ones that we were watching for A24 April, this is one of the only ones I could recommend for everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, yeah, you might cry, but I think it's a good cry, you know? And, I really don't have any dislikes. I'm like trying to think and I have nothing.
Yeah, I don't really do either. I mean, it is a little bit slow in the first 20, 30 minutes, but like, but once you get going
kind of
in
a leisurely pace.
Yeah, but once you get going in it, because like there's a point in time I'm like, what's going to be the story here? Like, is it just going to be, like,
is there one?
Like the YouTube series, or it's just like, kind of, I'm like, okay, I guess I was like preparing myself to, you know, be along for the ride for an hour and 30 minutes. But the story is the sweetest thing ever. And it's worth it. So
is this something you're going to show like nightly? Is this going to be like a kid's movie she grows up on?
Maybe, but I don't think so because
I mean, it depends if she likes it, right?
Well, sure. But like also I don't want her like, I don't know. Some of the themes in here are super like deep and
sad.
Yeah. And even though it's like a good movie for kids and I don't know, it's kind of complex. I think Marcel the Shell, I think, gets a solid 9 out of 10 for me. It is probably one of the best movies that I've seen in a long time. And I knew this movie was hyped up a lot, or at least I hyped it up a lot in my mind. So I definitely wanted it to hit for me, and I think it did. So I'm excited the way that it turned out.
Yeah, I really think it's a great movie, and I would give it, I would honestly give it like a 4, maybe 4.5 out of 5.
Nice. Pretty much the same score. I think we have the same score every single time. It's just a little bit different because you use a 5 Not scale always, and I though. Use a 10 scale.
It's just Letterboxd has got its teeth in me, man.
I guess.
Follow me, guys. I'm hungry for
No, don't follow him. He doesn't social validation. It. He hasn't earned your follow. Okay, now
people like my reviews.
Well, hey,
I'm smarter on Letterboxd.
We tackled that topic in 10 minutes. So, good for us.
We're so good. This next one.
Now it's going to take the rest. This one's probably going to be 2 hours to talk about this. Even the log line is actually 3 sentences. So kind of crazy. Log lines are supposed to be about a sentence and a half.
It's a bad log line.
3 sentences is an eternity in log line land. well, guys, this is another David Robert Mitchell movie that we will be reviewing, starring...
What other movie from him did we watch?
What? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Carson, we did It Follows.
We never did It Follows. Great movie, though. I actually used to hate that movie, and I've come around on it. I really like it.
You know what? When I said another David Robert Mitchell, I was like...
You meant to say another A24 movie or something?
No, I didn't mean to say another. I was just going to say a David Robert Mitchell, but I said another. And I was like, well, hopefully he doesn't catch on to that.
He's a good director.
And you're like, what other movie did we review?
Call
like,
you out. I was like, did we do It Follows? And when?
No, you're pretty confident in saying no. Okay, so yeah, this stars Andrew Garfield. It stars Riley Coe.
Daddy.
And Daddy Topher Grace. You're right.
Okay. I was saying Andrew, but
no, I love Topher Grace more than Andrew, to be honest.
I do too. He's actually pretty fun in this. He's such a good actor.
In, I mean, okay, besides Spider-Man 3, in everything he's in,
he's underrated.
He is so funny, and like, it's such a dry.
He's wildly underrated.
Yeah, I want to see Topher Grace in more things. You know, justice for Topher.
Justice for Topher.
Justice for Topher. Okay, guys, so trigger warnings here, not necessarily trigger warnings, maybe just like NSFW.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, this movie has a pretty large amount of sexual content, mm-hmm. of different varieties and circumstances. You could take that how you want. And then there's some
more head bashing,
violence, some head trauma.
Yep.
It's a very extreme film. And it doesn't always feel that way, so it's kind of weird to say it. But yeah, it's a very extreme film that has a little bit of everything you could imagine, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's talk about this right after the logline. Sam, a disenchanted young man, finds a mysterious woman swimming in his apartment's pool one night. The next morning, she disappears. Sam sets off across LA to find her, and along the way, he uncovers a conspiracy far more bizarre.
I mean, that is the movie. That is what the movie is.
I just want to say I loved this movie, and I genuinely want to watch it again.
Mm-hmm, me too. Like, literally right now, I'm down to watch it.
Exactly. It's
Watch it together right now.
Okay, for me, it checks all the boxes. It is creepy. It is... Mm-hmm. A kind of what is that? What did I talk about a couple weeks ago? Like the traveling kind of story. Like
I don't know.
Like you know, kind of but like yeah, a Where the Millers, Homeward Bound, those types of things, where it's like you're journeying.
It's like a tour of LA almost.
Yeah, but you're like journeying through something in order to get there. Like a lot of times, movies are just like plots, things happen, take place.
Yeah, this is based around location very much.
Yeah, so he's in search for this girl. But it is also funny. It's also like,
oh, it's hilarious,
quirky. It's violent. It's got mystery in it. It checks all of the boxes for
it makes you think
like a really good movie.
It makes you feel
and
a little tinfoil hat.
It makes you think.
Daniel and I called each other after watching this, and we're both like, dude, it's all real. Like there's messages and everything. Like we got to be careful. Like we were both tripping out for like a minute on the phone.
If you can. If you genuinely can, I mean,
I got this, dude.
Let's see what you have to do in 2 minutes or less. Let's see if you can do it.
So, guys, this movie is purposefully ambiguous. So, I we don't have all the answers. I honestly don't think the director and cast have all the answers. But essentially, Andrew Garfield's character is trying to discover this mystery of this missing girl who actually mimics a scene very similar to the... it's almost exactly the same as the final Marilyn Monroe film that was unfinished. But anyways, he's looking for his Marilyn. He's trying to find her, and it brings him into the dark underbelly of Los Angeles, which is as weird as the outer belly. Like, maybe weirder.
Yeah, it's
so he
weird.
Goes to, like, all the weird art scene stuff. He's trying to figure out what happened to her. Is she dead, perhaps? And he starts catching sight of all these different things. And this is all happening while there's this comic book that's being released, like a zine. This indie comic book that has all this esoteric meaning hidden in it and all these, like, mythological stuff that's going on, such as an evil owl lady. There's also a dog killer on the loose. So there's all these layers of all this... high strangeness going on in LA at the time, and he just gets wrapped up into it, and he begins to notice messages are hidden in pop culture. So he starts trying to figure out who's writing these messages, what do they mean, and how does it all tie into this missing girl that I don't really know. And yeah, he's losing his mind the whole time. So I think that's a pretty good summary.
Nice. That was really good. That was almost two minutes. You were at a minute and 40 seconds.
I talk fast.
I don't even know where. I mean, let's just go likes and dislikes, and let's talk about the movie along the way.
That's the only way to do this.
Yeah, yeah. You really can't break down the way that we've done the previous two movies.
No. What's your first big like?
Oh, man.
Do you want me to go?
No, I got this. My first big like is Andrew Garfield, for sure. Like, we've seen Andrew Garfield in so many different things, right? Spider-Man, Social Network, Silence. He's been...
Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah, Tick, Tick, Boom. I actually haven't seen that still yet, so...
Oh, it's a good
maybe movie. We should do April Andrew next month, or Andrew April, or next year.
Next year. Andrew April. I like that.
Anyway, so he's just in so much variety of film that... Mm-hmm. I didn't think that he could perform something like this, but he does so well. Cause
it's a very unique role.
It's kind of like Spider-Man, but at the same time, it's not, because he's like losing his mind, but he's also funny and
Peter
quirky.
Parker
kind of
had like an abusive streak.
And just like never like became Spider-Man and got really addicted to like porn.
He's like not technically a good person.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
You're still... He's a noir. He's really a noir character.
Yeah, but I think at the same time, we all can relate to Andrew. Like, right, we've all been in a place in our life where we feel stumped and we, like, want some adventure, want some love. We want, you know, we want it all. Mm-hmm. And when he stumbles across it, he finds the deepest, darkest things ever. And I think it was such a unique choice to cast Andrew Garfield, which I typically wouldn't say I could see him doing this.
I mean, I think just going off of that, casting him is so smart because he's such a likable person. Like, I feel like everyone kind of has a soft spot for him. And casting him as this character, why'd you give me that look?
I don't know.
That was weird, man. That was weird. I don't want to do him or anything. But no, I think a lot of people have a soft spot for him. And in this, he has this dark streak that's unexpected.
Yeah.
That if anyone else was playing it, you'd probably hate them, but you kind of like are rooting for Andrew Garfield the whole movie.
Okay. So what's your first like?
I just love the, so I live in LA. I love LA. And this movie is a very much an LA film.
Yeah.
Shut up. But it has like all these like locations that I know and love. Mm-hmm. And like, even just it nails the art scene in Silver Lake. Cause it's not literally what it's like, but it's pretty dang close.
Yeah.
Like if you hang out with any of these people, it's just high level of pretentiousness.
So
and like
far,
fake
like removed
friendliness.
From reality type deal.
Yeah, exactly. So even like when he meets up with like Topher Grace on several occasions, Topher's not a normal person.
Yeah.
And that's literally the kind of people you meet here at like, if you go to like any of the bars in Silver Lake, those are the kind of people you're going to be sitting next to. And I really enjoy that. LA itself feels like a character in this movie.
Yeah, it's like everybody's so
almost
vaguely
like a David
invested.
Lynchian version of LA.
Yeah.
So if you've seen Mulholland Drive, that has kind of that similar weird vibe. But yeah, that was one of the things I loved about this.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines is, "Where's the mystery that makes everything worthwhile? We crave mystery because there's none left."
Ooh.
Yeah, no.
You know, humans often find meaning in nothingness. That's how our brains are hardwired.
Facts. Facts. So Carson and I did have a long conversation about this movie beforehand. And
I'm trying to avoid doing that right now.
Yeah, we are trying to avoid doing that because there's just so many rabbit holes that you can go off. Like, kind of like what Carson said, there's the...
Let's both do a rabbit hole.
Tinfoil hat that this movie makes you do. Okay, so I'll go on a rabbit hole real quick. Not too long, though, because we have to... This is already 40 minutes. The first rabbit hole for me is the whole... It's just the whole hidden symbols aspect of the movie, like... If they are real or if they're messaging. Not. It, yeah. And for me, like, the whole idea or situation behind it all is, like, they're hidden in plain sight, right? It wasn't that actual hard to find him. Like, there's this whole stigma, too, of, like, the dog killers and who's the dog killer. Is Andrew Garfield the dog killer?
I think it's Andrew Garfield. We could talk about this later if you guys want us to. I have my theory, though.
Okay. I think it's the homeless, but...
I'm sticking to it.
I don't know, but then there's that, like, crow bird person lady that, like, walks around, yeah, which it's like...
The owl lady.
Who is that? Like, why is she trying to, like, you know, does he know too much? Is the world actually, or at least Hollywood, run by the elite? So there's just so many different questions that you have to ask that makes my mind think, they can't just be making this up. This is such common, like... conspiracy theory stuff that, like,
yeah,
one of the things that I saw was, like, there has to be some truth that is unveiled in this movie. There is
in this film,
yeah, there's, like, a lot of discussions talked about, like, how, you know, people want to become so rich that they don't actually have to deal with the, like, day-to-day life. All they have to deal with is just the luxuries of what they want to do whenever they want
to
do it.
They just get to enjoy,
to the point of escaping death, because that's, like, the whole thing. Like, the whole reason is that they want to escape death into a way to where they can secure themselves in these tombs where they know they're going to die, obviously. But
I agree, the subliminal messaging stuff is good, and we had a conversation about, there's this character, he's like the songwriter. We hear a lot about him. You only have, like, really one scene with him. But he has this whole monologue where he's playing all these songs. He's like, yeah, I wrote all of these. And then he plays, like, Nirvana at one point.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you rebelled with this song? He's like, we invented the rebellion. So you're not even rebelling when you're listening to this, like, edgy rock music, punk music, and stuff like that. You're not, like, that's all manufactured by some unseen force. Like, you're... Like, who you... You're... All your independence that you think you have is not true independence, which... Now that I think about it, could be a critique of, like, L.A. hipster culture. Like,
I don't think, like, everyone here thinks time to just so take a jab at the hipsters.
I think it is low key, though.
I mean, like, sure, like, but, like, the hipsters band? Then, I, like, guess if you want
to, they only have two albums and they like to play everything backwards.
Well, everybody likes,
but in reality, that's still manufactured.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think within that, going further, is, like, the hipsters started off because it's like, oh, we're different. We're, you know, we're not, like, the normal status quo. But then, like, when you put that to a group of people, that's all of LA, and it's all fake. Like, and the fact that they can be manipulated so easily kind of is, I mean, yeah, I could see your point. It's kind of the laughing joke of, like, you're not different at all. You fall in line with the same
people.
The so-called
people. Mainstream and the non-mainstream are all coming from the same place.
Exactly.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Of an idea. And then the only true, like, real art in this is the guy who's writing that underground comic book, and bad things happen to him because of it, because he's trying to expose something bigger. There's a lot of ways you could take this movie.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And I think that's why we both liked it so much, is, like, it gives you so much to, like,
unpack,
lock into.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could write, like, if you're a film student and you're at school and you have to write an essay, this is a great one to just, you could take it in any direction you want because it supports so many different ideas.
Yeah, and genuinely, really cool. We could probably talk about this for an hour. Like, we pretty much already did talk about it for, like, 30, 40 minutes when we called each other right after. Yeah. Because
it might have been an hour.
Yeah, it was literally just so, there's so much in there that you can't, like, right, kind of what Carson said. It's just, like, you're not supposed to know everything, but... In the same regard, the movie is trying to tell us is everything has messages like there are messages mm-hmm. in literally all the stuff that you don't think that there is. And I think that
this movie's actually a message for someone else.
I mean, I don't put it past it. That could be another rabbit hole. But anyway, enough rabbit holing. This movie is, I think, it, like I said earlier, it just hits all the right spots. And I give this movie, I know I said it was like an 8.5 earlier, but I'm giving it a solid 9 out of 10. Like, I thoroughly wow. enjoyed this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. So, did, have yeah, you seen this?
I give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Wow, that's higher than mine.
Yeah.
Did you, I have you seen really this before? I really liked it. Or was this your first watch?
I've never seen this before. Oh, right. It's first watch. Yeah. I've wanted to watch it for a long time.
Yeah.
Something about the title really intrigued me, and like the mm-hmm. fact that Andrew Garfield was in it. I had no idea what it was about. Actually, like a lot of these A24 movies we've been watching for this podcast, if I haven't seen them already, I know very little about them. So it's yeah. been really fun to go in blind to a lot of these. But yeah, this movie is really cool if you're into like something ambiguous, mysterious. There's a big content warning, but I do recommend it. What's it playing on?
It is on HBO Max, I believe.
Okay, there's a good helping of A24 movies on Max right now.
Yeah, it's so on HBO Max.
You guys should definitely check this one out.
Yeah.
Oh, I will say, we didn't even touch on all the fun little... Well, I guess we talked about how it kind of copies that one scene with Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But... There's so many references to old films in this, even like posters and stuff, or just if you like pop culture in general, there's like references yeah. to like Andrew Garfield even playing Spider-Man
yeah.
in this. So it's really cool in that sense too.
Yeah, I think I really wish we could unpack this movie more, because I think that this movie deserves more of an unpacking, kind of like our phone call. Our phone call was recorded. It's for the Patreon.
No. No, I'm going to say, if you guys are interested, we could do a longer episode.
Yeah.
Just let us know. We mulled over that idea before of doing longer episodes for movies we want to get a little fake philosophical about. So this could be a good opportunity if you're interested.
We should try it. Let's just try it like once a quarter to try to do like a...
On the Patreon?
Yeah, on the Patreon that nobody pays for. That's free for all yeah. of you.
Maybe YouTube can be long slates.
Yeah, long slates.
Long boys.
Dirty long slates. So anyway.
Amen. So next week we have Ex Machina, if that's how you say it.
Ex Machina.
We have Uncut Gems. Uncut Gems. On Uncut Gems, I was Ben Safdie's muse. Have you seen that clip?
Mm-mm.
Never mind. I'll send it to you.
Okay. Oh my
people
God.
At home know what I'm talking about.
Okay, good.
If they're on TikTok,
I'm glad.
I guess.
yeah, Uncut Gems, Ex Machina, and Room. There are plenty of other A24 films that I wish we could get to that aren't just in the horror genre, but I think...
Next year.
Yeah, I think we can always do another A24 month or even couple weeks, but we have to keep moving on, so let us know what your favorite A24 film is. By the way, your hats should be coming to you soon. I appreciate everybody's patience.
Shirts as well.
And shirts, correct. And so, we really appreciate all of you. And guys, thanks for supporting. Thank you for listening. Thank you for, even if you don't listen on one week and you come back and binge it all, we really appreciate all the listens. We're just two guys.
5 years in the future, we appreciate you.
Exactly. These are just two guys. We're just goofing around, talking about movies, thinking people listen to us.
Deeply in love.
Just madly in love, and they're trying to mask the love through a podcast. So
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, we appreciate you, and we will see you next week with another episode.
That's a clean slate.